The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
106.5 FM, better you, better me, better Trinidad and Tobago. On Zoom right now, we have Mr. Wayne. Wayne Meister, Acting Commissioner in the Special Support Unit. Right, good afternoon to you, sir. If you're there, and you will let me. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, good day. Are you and me?
Yes, man, loud and clear. Thanks for joining us.
I present it to you. Your viewership
and
listenership.
All right, Mr. Meister. So, I want to just talk to you about some of the things that has been occurring, especially where children are concerned. I mean, this morning we woke up to a gruesome story about a four-year-old being beheaded. You know, there was a domestic dispute taking place. You know, sometimes we ask ourselves if coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, I mean, I know the police can't be everywhere, and it's up to individuals, especially adults, but you know, these children do ask to come here, but I don't know if there would be, well, of course there will be an investigation, but let's just say if there's an investigation, and many times we have women who go to the police station to report men, to report domestic violence. Sometimes it even reaches a restraining order, and then nothing happens. Nothing happens until somebody ends up dead, you know? What say you about that, Wayne Meister? How can we do more to protect our children, women, you know, but especially our children?
But first, I want to say condolences to the parent. So on behalf of the TDPS, we want to express our deepest condolences. I know for a fact that the officers, when they received the report, they would have acted immediately, and that is how they discovered that unfortunate issue. But generally, we take a very, 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 very serious stance as it relates to domestic issues. Our special victims unit is well trained, and we take nothing for granted. So you may probably would have heard stories in the past about, you know, issues with the officers and so on, but I can guarantee you now that once we have reports of domestic nature, we treat it very immediately.
That's very, very, very good to hear, because I mean, and let's say you do go to a home and there's a domestic dispute. What do you do? Do you remove the man from the home, the woman from the home? I mean, it would depend on the situation. But is there a follow-up? That is the most important thing, the follow-up. Because sometimes when the police reach out, you know, the woman like, oh gosh, don't hold him. Oh God, you know, it's a total switch and a total change. Is there a follow-up?
Yes, of course. And you know, we are faced with what you call a catch-22 situation, whereby the victim, most of the time maybe a female, makes a report. And then when the police is intervening now, they will probably renege on the report. But I'm saying now that we no longer, once there's violence, we have a zero tolerance of violence. So it has nothing to do with what the victim is saying, that she don't want any action again. We are going to put that person before the court and let the victim go before the magistrate and say that she doesn't want any action. So we're not taking anything for granted and saying, well, okay, they're going to make back.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have another story here where a girl 8 was hospitalized after being shot in the head by her teen sister. Now, in a situation like this, would the adults in the home be responsible for what is going on here?
But it's a certain things where we have constant.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're here and you know, yes?
Hello?
Yes, here and you know.
Yes, you hear me now?
Yeah, here and you know, yes.
Yes. Yes, sir. We don't take, you know, like as I said before, the victim will say, I don't want any action.
Right.
But once violence is involved, we are not going to side with them. We're going to put the person before the court.
All right, okay. I was asking you about this other story here with the girl 8 years old who was hospitalized after being shot in the head by her teen sister. Now, in a situation like this, where of course the parents will be held accountable, but where does the police intervene in this kind of situation there?
Yes, of course. And that is a very, very serious issue, because persons who are in the possession of firearms, and when I say that, persons who have firearm users license and permit, the authorized to have it, one of the main things that we do in our investigations to grant a person an FUL is to visit that person home to ensure that person have the necessary security arrangements to secure that firearm when it's not in use, and especially when the household has children in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that gun is not properly well secured, that means there will be some liability on behalf of the holder of that particular fire.
All right, okay. Also, well, there's another story. I don't know if this is in Trinidad. I know an investigation is taking place about the little girl, the cyber and social media unit of the TTPS is probing the video that surfaced on social media where the for this 15 seconds, this girl is being holding what seems like a Glock, right? And it's another crackhead. I think this is what you call a gel gun. To me, these things should be banned in the country. But any leading up to that, any information on that so far?
Yes, sir. That, of course, is in general attention in a meaningful way. Our cyber social unit is presently gathering the necessary information to verify the authenticity of that particular video. And once we have the sufficient evidence, then that person will be a person of interest. We'll have to interview because that is a very, very serious offense. Whether or not it's a firearm, it's a real firearm, or it's a object purporting to be a firearm,
mm-hmm.
that's also an offense.
Yeah, but you are aware of these gel guns. They've even been used in robberies and they look so real. Why are these things being allowed
in?
Why are they being allowed in the country? I understand that was a big seller for Christmas.
Well, you know, I always say that, you know, the TTPS, together with other stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
have a part to play. We have our part to do.
Yeah.
And there are certain agencies that have their part to do, and they need to do their part.
Right. Of course. I understand exactly where you're coming from. And yesterday again, boy, I mean, it's just this, watch me, it's a whirlwind of things going on. We saw about this this ring on Telegram. And now we're seeing that it may be hard to prosecute people because of how the Telegram is. But why wasn't there like a sting operation being done and somebody posing as one of the buyers, get inside the group, I want to act the thing and buy and see, get to know all the players in this thing? Wasn't a sting operation? Why couldn't a sting operation like that be done?
Well, remember, we are not aware of all the information surrounding that the circumstances of that.
Mm.
So it's kind of too early to say that could have been done and so on. But as it stands, it's also engaging our attention. And once we have any meaningful information and evidence coming up, then persons will be dealt with accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does the TTPS really feel like they're getting a handle on this crime situation? You don't feel like these criminals, they're like, they're just brazen and they just don't care, so to speak?
Yeah, well there are some challenges with persons. Yes, they're being more brazen than some, but we are doing what we have to do. I can assure you that we are not asleep. I can assure you that we are working assiduously to keep the control. That's the most I can tell you on that.
All right, and in terms of with a lot of the gang violence, with this 6 and this 7, and they in certain areas, you know what areas. This area is deemed as a 6 area. This area is a 7 area, 8 thing or 9. I mean, why isn't it that TTPS just can go in there and just take what they had to take, do what they had to do, and let me just give back the country? And I mean, it may not be as simple as that, but why is it so hard just to get at them?
Right, so I want to say something, but I wanted to hear what I'm not saying.
Mm-hmm.
The Trinidad Tobago Police Service, just like any national law enforcement fraternity, we have particular rules, regulations, and procedures to follow. And when we have to follow those procedures, when you say that something, there's a lot of bureaucracy to do something.
Yeah.
So to get persons or the court as it relates to gang activities, there are a number of things that we have to do that first to prove that these persons are involved in gang activities. So just by saying that, it should just indicate to you the kind of just work that must go in. They pick up persons, they are a whole lot of turn up close rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have rights, eh?
Yeah.
They have rights,
yeah.
Buddy. Yeah, they have rights.
Hello?
Yeah, just repeat what you were saying there.
Yes,
you got cut off
a
little bit.
Yes. It's not as easy. Yeah, it's not as easy as, you're watching the movies, you just see the police moving. But behind all that, in addition to crimes being solved in an hour on CSI, there's a whole lot of work being done even before that.
Right, of course.
So yeah. there are some challenges. We have, just remember that the TTPS, we have to follow the rules.
You have to follow the rules. So you're saying some of the rules could be changed then? Some of the rules are very old, archaic 1962 rules that could come after 2024 to help out the police a little better.
Well, Well, I'm almost certain that can happen. I know there's the constitutional reform program taking place right now, where that unit, that team is going about, you know, asking citizens for ideas and so on. And I think that's a good opportunity for us to get some things changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
assist us in a more meaningful way.
Definitely. Now, I know you mentioned movies and CSI. One of my favorite nights to watch TV is tonight. I love to watch the FBI. Is watch that? FBI Miami, FBI International, and FBI New York. You watch those shows?
Yes, but I don't get carried away by those shows because you know when you watch those shows,
yeah,
there's always a clue lying by. I mean, everything is staged. It's acting. Mm-hmm. And I mean, come on.
Yeah, but
a crime is being solved in an hour.
Yeah, but one of the clues, I mean, one of the things that help, in terms that help police, is CCTV footage. People are not afraid to give information. There's always a database, you know. I mean, you could pull up somebody's license plate and, you know, get everything. I mean, right away, there's always some information. There's always so much there, you know, easily accessible.
Right, but you mentioned something very critical, and I'm happy that you mentioned that. No. We use all those technology. We use CCTV, we use license plate, we do everything. But here the issue.
Mm.
When a matter is brought before the court, let's say we have our information on a stolen vehicle or a robbery,
mm-hmm,
and the suspect is held.
Yeah.
You know what's the key ingredient that is missing for that whole thing?
Tell me.
The statement and the appearance in court by the victim.
Mm.
And on numerous occasions, the victims, because they are scared of for their lives,
yeah,
they don't come forward. And they won't come forward. And a court of law will never uphold situations where there's no witnesses and there's nobody to testify. So you find that those matters can be dismissed early. So that is one of the main challenges we have, witnesses coming forward and saying, okay, you know what? I am going to assist the police with this particular crime. That is our main challenge, right?
Well, I mean, you can't really blame the witnesses, because one of the main things is that you be a witness here. You know, you have some people knocking on your door saying there's police, and then they could end up dead. I've even known some people who said that they went to do an ID parade, and the ID parade was in a fast food outlet where everybody could see them. I mean, who want to go through that?
Yeah, no, and you're correct. And I also empathize with the victims. But when you're looking at the rules that we have to follow, remember I said earlier, we have to follow the rules.
Yeah.
And if the rules say that a matter will be thrown out because there's no victim or victim coming forward, then I mean, we do what we could do, only what we could do up to the point that we could do it.
Well, boy, well, like we spinning top in mud, boy, we ain't by.
Yeah,
well. But the man laugh, yes?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of things that needs to be adjusted, and that could support the police in how we operate.
Yeah.
I mean, we do the best what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I can say about
it. I hear you, man. I hear. What about the soldiers with the joint patrol? A lot of people say, you know, bring all the soldiers to, man. For some reason, not down in the TTPS, but for some reason, there's a little more a respect added when the soldiers are out there. What say you about that?
No, that is something ongoing. As we speak, we have joint patrols taking place. So that is not a new venture. That has been around a while, and that is happening, as I said, as we speak.
All right, man. Well, Mr. Wayne, don't let me keep you anymore. I mean, we see you out there, keep fighting the good fight. And, you know, what I go tell you, boy, may God help us.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much there. Wayne Meister.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.